Rodgers and Hammerstein, Fulton and Rice, Anton Deck, Marks and Spencer's, Rose and Royce. The list is seemingly endless. Famous double acts. Famous names forever yoked together with one another. But have you ever stopped and thought to yourself, which came first? And are these in strict alphabetical order? Clearly not with Rodgers and Hammerstein. And does it matter at all anyway? After all, the cars of Royce and Rose would still be very exclusive. It is a sort of which comes first type question. Oscar Hammerstein famously said that it was always the lyrics that came first. He would write the words and then Richard Rodgers would compose the tune around them. So therefore, should it really be Hammerstein and Rodgers? I often think about the order of names when I read about the sisters in today's gospel reading, Mary and Martha. Or should it be Martha and Mary? Which comes first? And does it matter? Well, what do we know about this family? We know from the Bible that these two sisters, along with their brother Lazarus, were very good friends of Jesus. We know that Jesus loved the family. In St. John's Gospel, we're told that Jesus wept when he heard the news of Lazarus' death. Now, such a deep relationship doesn't just happen at a moment's notice. It doesn't just come into being. It is built up over a prolonged period of time. I believe, from what we read about the two sisters and brother Lazarus, that Jesus was a regular visitor at their house in Bethany. And he was someone very dear to them. They were undoubtedly excited to see Jesus, and had probably worked hard to prepare for his visit. And Jesus, being the fantastic house guest, would have noticed and appreciated all the hard work that they had done for him. But when Jesus sat down, perhaps on a pillow in the front room, and started to talk and teach, Martha was out in the kitchen. Martha was busy. And I imagine that she was probably irritated that no one was helping her and that she was missing the conversation between Jesus and her sister. The more Martha worked, the more frustrated she got. Now, being the father of two daughters when they were teenagers living at home, I get this picture very clearly of what's going on here. In fact, I'm locating it in one of the houses that we used to live in Stratford, which only had one room downstairs and the kitchen off it. I can imagine one of them in the kitchen making as much noise as they can, whilst the other one is seemingly doing absolutely nothing at all, when they should be out in the kitchen helping her. I can imagine the cacophony of noise and the pans being smashed down and wooden spoons being picked to try and create attention and to get the sister to come out to them. Finally, it's all too much for Martha. She throws open the door. I've been strapped up on Avery, it must be from that door where they would have been. But anyway, she throws open the door and flies into the doorway and stands very frustrated, probably very hot and very flustered, and says, well, she does the classic sister-sibling thing. When you're crossing your sister, talk through a third person. And she says, Jesus, would you tell Mary to come into the kitchen and help me with all this work? And I can imagine Jesus sitting there and having a smile to himself and a chuckle to himself. And then he responds calmly and with compassion to her. Martha, Martha, don't be so upset. You are busy and distracted with many things. Mary has chosen the better way. She has chosen to listen to me rather than allowing herself to be distracted. This time that we have spent together is so precious and will never, never be taken away from her. And so ends the story. I have to say, thinking about siblings together, the sisters together there, I'm not sure how Martha would have reacted with Jesus taking Mary's side, but anyway, Jesus was Jesus and he could calm everything. He could calm storm, he could calm sisters. It's all very much down-to-earth stuff, brilliantly written by the master writer Luke. And it's easy to imagine our way into the narrative. I was at a retreat once, and we were given this passage to read. And we had to imagine our way into the passage and ask ourselves the question, are we a Mary or are we a Martha? Are we sitting at the Lord's feet and listening to the Lord? Are we busying ourselves with distractions that keep us away from our Lord? Ask yourself this question this week. Are you a Mary or a Martha? Or a Martha or a Mary? I have to say that those people who align themselves with Martha often find this passage, they feel that Martha's very hard done by it, and perhaps you do as well. But it is an interesting question. Are you a Mary or a Martha or a Martha or a Mary? But there's something more about this moment. This ordinary moment that's probably often repeated many times in our lives. It is a moment that illustrates a simple spiritual truth of the kingdom of God. Here, in this simple story about Mary and Martha, or Martha and Mary, we ask ourselves, does it really matter about the order of the names? After all, the story stays the same. Well, yes, it does matter. It is Mary first. It has to be in that order with God. Listen first, act second. Listening, then doing. Most of us are probably compelled to be doers in the world. We like to be out, like to be doing things. But this story tells us that the prerequisite for Christian discipleship is listening first. It is focusing on Jesus, concentrating on his word, giving him our undivided attention. The Martha and Mary narrative is all about the nature of Christian discipleship and the imperative of listening to Jesus first, to focus on him, to center on him, to concentrate on Christ and the words of Christ. Mary knew how to listen to Jesus before doing. Jesus urged Martha and urges us all to do the same. Which comes first, Martha and Mary or Mary and Martha? It is Mary, then Martha. There is an order. When it comes to following Jesus, there has to be. Amen.